Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The WIP Afternoon Show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz. He joined us every Thursday at 3 through the Eagles season, which went as many weeks as possible. And here we are, Super Bowl champions, talking to Sheil Kapadia of The Ringer. Sheil, how are you, my friend?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
Oh,
what up, Sheil?
As good as we could possibly be doing, man. You see that game on Sunday? You miss it? I don't know. Come on. It was great.
It's incredible. You go around town, you go to Wawa, everybody's got a smile on their face, everyone's got the gear on, and I have to remind the young kids that this is not normal for your team to win the Super Bowl twice in 8 years, so
yep.
Enjoy it.
So you, like many other people, almost all of us, predicted some sort of close game. Even if we had it as a 10-point win, most of us said, and we'll score a touchdown late, and that's how it would be a 10-point win. After seeing the game, do you look back at it at all and say, maybe I should have seen this coming, or still are you blown away about what happened?
Yeah, I'm pretty blown away just because of the history of it. When you look at Patrick Mahomes and his career, this had pretty much a defense had never done this to him. I believe it's the best defensive performance against Mahomes in his career. And just the team he's quarterbacked, I mean, this was probably the worst loss of his career. You know, if you look at just the margin of victory, it was 18 points, but we all watched the game and know it was worse than that. And so it was just so rare for that Chiefs team to get blown out. And so even though we could have talked about it and said, hey, the Eagles have the more talented team, here's the way they roll to a victory, I still tend to give the quarterback and the coach the benefit of the doubt in that spot. And that's why I thought the Eagles would win, but I thought we were going to get a closer game.
So can I ask you a three-part Jalen Hurts question?
Let's do it.
Okay, because I perceive you're a down-the-middle guy, right? And you have the Jalen Hurts doubters, which I am was in that category. And then you have the huge fans. And I feel like you just call it as you see it. So the first part of the three-part question would, to my eyes, the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl were by far the two best games he played all year. Did you perceive that as well?
Yes, I agree with that. I think just watching it, watching the film of it, and then looking at you can look at the numbers and it backs that up, that he kind of rose to the occasion when the stakes were their highest, the two biggest games. Yeah, I would agree with that those were his two best games of the season.
Okay, so that's first part. Second part of the three-part question, would you also agree that there was nothing in that game, that in either of those games, that seemed out of character for them to do in the offense they have? He didn't throw the ball 35, 40 times. Like, it seemed like what they did was something they could replicate. Would you agree with that or no?
I agree with that too. Yeah, they didn't have a bunch of wrinkles. It's not like they changed what they did. They kind of did what they've been doing. They just did it at a higher level. So yes, I would agree with that as well.
Okay, so third and final part. A lot of people told me during the year when it said that they should throw the ball more, so on and so forth, that they don't need to, and they will when they need to. That doesn't calculate for me. So I can't figure out what was different in that they could accomplish it there, but they chose not to during the season. And I guess it's sort of a, this past season, but also looking forward to next year, do you think that the games we saw there, obviously they're not going to play as great as they played the last two games, but this is sort of a model for how they should look moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, we know Jalen Hurts' strengths and weaknesses, I think, at this point, and I thought the Super Bowl, and to maybe a lesser degree, the NFC Championship game was, we saw him lean into his strengths and the team lean into his strengths more so than they did all season. You know, we were having conversations in the middle of the season saying, not necessarily why don't they throw the football more, but why aren't they pushing the ball downfield? I mean, from Jalen Hurts' first start, that has been his strength, is that he throws a beautiful deep ball. If you get a one-on-one on the outside, go ahead and take it. And I think there were times during the regular season, a big stretch of the regular season, where they said, if we're not 100% sure about it, let's not take the risk and let's not even attempt those plays. I mean, they had stretches where they just didn't push the ball downfield. But what do we see in this game? I mean, they took shots downfield. He threw it downfield beautifully. And so I think those are the things going forward that you could say this can be the foundation of the offense. Downfield passing, scrambling, and the run game, lean on the offensive line. Obviously, they just won the Super Bowl. I think that's the formula that can work.
Yeah, I look at the way he played, and I say it's on him. I think a lot of these play designs have been there all year. He doesn't throw the ball. He leaves the pocket early. He doesn't see things that are open. And therefore, the passing game isn't as effective, even though they're throwing the ball the same 25 times. There were games where he was only completing 12 of those passes, 13 of those passes. I just think he started to play better, Shield. I don't know if he felt more confident, if he's seeing the field better. I don't think the coaches were doing anything differently. I think a lot of it is, Jalen, can you identify what's going on here and get the ball out there with confidence? And that's why you would get receivers being frustrated. Because they're coming back and they're like, well, hold on, man. This play was open. That play was open. Why didn't we throw the ball there? And I just think for only he knows what it was, he just felt more confident in those last couple of games. Maybe he saw the field better, right? Like, because in the Rams game, he kind of held on to the ball, right? Or was it the Packers game where he got sacked seven times?
It was the Rams game.
Yeah, it was one of those games, yeah. So he kind of held on. I think sometimes he's confident and he sees it and he just lets it go instinctually. And then there's times he gets in his own head where he is so averse to turning the ball over, or he feels there may be a negative play there and he would rather just either eat the ball or scramble around and run or make an off-script play. This passing game can be good if Jalen is playing with the confidence level he played with in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. When I just said he's got defined strengths and weaknesses, I think the thing he can continue to work on is what you just mentioned, is, you know, not being afraid to cut it loose and be confident in it. You know, like you said, there were many times this season where you say he turned down a throw. And like you said, that's why A.J. Brown, that's why guys were frustrated at times, because they say the play worked. You know, we knew the coverage and we were open. And now the thing I don't know, Ike, is that Jalen Hurts? Or is that the coaching staff saying, Jalen, we've got an awesome defense. We've got an awesome running game. We're winning games like this. We like, you know, we don't have an issue with you being a little conservative with the passing game at times. Because this was the most, in the regular season, this was the most conservative version of Jalen Hurts we've seen in his career. And so it's not like this is something that he's been for 3, 4, 5 years since he came into the league where we said, oh, you know, he's not willing to make those throws to this degree where he's taking sacks at a high level and, like you said, throwing the football away. So I think it was a balance, you know, and I'll give Hurts credit because they did. I'm sure there was some conversation after 4 or 5 weeks that we need to prioritize not turning the football over everything else. I mean, I just don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah.
I feel like that had to be a conversation that took place. And he said, okay, if you think that's the way we win games, then that's what I'm going to do. And so, you know, we had all the conversations about the passing game, but guess what? They kept winning and they kept winning and they kept winning. And so I don't think there was that, you know, impetus for them to say in week 10, week 11, hey, let's change how we play, because they were winning a lot of football games. And then at the end, when they needed him, I mean, I can't emphasize enough how much he showed up when the stakes were at their highest, when it was something maybe they hadn't been consistent with all season long. The guy showed up on the biggest stage against an all-time defensive coordinator in Spags, and he made play after play after play downfield for this offense.
I think it's also fair to mention the two drastic differences in terms of turnovers. You know, last season and then through four games, he was turning it over more than anybody. And then they went the complete opposite way and said, don't take any chances. And I think maybe what we saw in the NFC Championship game and Super Bowl was his mind finding, and even coaching, finding the middle. You know, what is the middle between taking chances and taking too many chances?
I will say this, Shield and Spike. Not a lot of difficult throws in those two games.
No. But
they were safe, easy throws out there where only his guy can get the ball.
Sure. But there were even, and you said it when you're saying there were one-on-one shots that he was not taking in the middle of the season.
Earlier, for sure.
So but it was great. And I hope, you know.
He has to carry that to next year.
We don't want another 400 touches for Saquon next year, right? I mean, like, we want this guy to be here for a couple of years. So, you know, Shiel, looking ahead to next year, I'm going to give you four Eagles free agents, and I want you to rank them who you would want to keep, who priority one through four. Zach Bond, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, Mekhi Becton.
Okay, I think Zach Bond is a pretty easy one for me because I look at the state of the roster and I look at what he meant to this defense and kind of the flexibility he allowed and what a great fit he was for the scheme. And you look at it, we don't know what N'Kobe Dean's going to be able to give them next year, and the other guys on the roster, you know, Oren Burks did a nice job filling in, but he's not Zach Bond. So he would be number one for me if I'm looking at it. The other guys you mentioned, now obviously price matters, but if you're just telling me, hey, you have the ability to bring them back, I think I would probably go Milton Williams, number two.
Wow.
You know, he could go Josh Sweat there, but I just think Milton Williams is only, what, 25, 26 years old, homegrown guy. You drafted him. And I feel like that interior pass rush is so important, having a guy next to Jalen Carter who can be effective. And so I would probably go him two. I would go Josh Sweat three. I think you can have a, you know, you could make a push for Josh Sweat to be number two, given kind of the state of your edge group. But I just think maybe Milton Williams, his best football is ahead of him more so than Josh Sweat. And I would go Mekhi Becton four. You know, it was a great story. I loved seeing his face, his emotion on the field after that game when it's like he was just stuck with the Jets for the first part of his career. And, you know, it's kind of like a lesser degree to the Saquon where you kind of don't know what it's like to play in these big games and be a part of a team like this. So that was a great story. At the same time, you can't pay everyone. And I feel like you have Tyler Steen, you can draft. It's one spot on the offensive line. So that's probably how I would rank them.
All right, Shiel. Well, a successful season for us, for you,
yes,
and for the Eagles. Yeah. So let's do it again next year, if you would.
All right, guys. It was a lot of fun. I'm sure we will talk again.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, at some point in the offseason, everyone Have fun at the parade, and we'll be talking free agency and draft before you know it.
That's right.
All right, Shiel, thanks so much. There is Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer.
By the way, Milton Williams speaking at his locker.
Yes.
He said, obviously, I won a raise while wearing a Clutch Sports hoodie.
Oh, these guys, you got sweat with Rosenhaus saying that his meeting with Rosenhaus was the best day of his life. Milton Williams wants a raise as wearing a Clutch hoodie. Oh, boy. Oh, man.
I tell you, see, I feel Milton's going to get paid.
Yes.
Because he's 25 years old, and somebody can pay him as a starter, whereas the Eagles would pay him as a rotational player. Right? Like, somebody could actually pay him as a starting defensive tackle.
And the Eagles are probably more interested in paying Jordan Davis, right? Because you can only pay one of those guys, you would think. If you're going to pay Milton Williams, you probably have to let Jordan Davis go.
Yeah, he's got his option year here, right? Isn't that where Jordan Davis is?
Yeah, are they the same draft?
No, I don't think so. I think Milton Williams was a year before.
A year before Jordan Davis.
That Milton Williams doesn't have an option, but Jordan Davis does.
Right.
So they could pick up his option, I guess.
Pick up his fifth year.
Yeah. I mean, it's no...
And you got to pay Jalen Carter. The Eagles think about who they have to pay down the road.
Yep. Because it's funny, like, my intuition is, well, Jordan Davis is a higher draft pick, and you could just have him there. But Milton Williams outsnapped Jordan Davis pretty significantly throughout the season, and that didn't change. I think that even grew as time went on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think it has much to do with – it has more to do with Milton probably wants to be a starter and get paid starter money.
Yes.
Like if the Eagles are going to give him starter money,
yep,
then – and that's going to be $20 million. You're not going to give a rotational – tackle $20 million.
No, he would have to be the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, and if he has Clutch Sports, Clutch is going to want to, like, put him out there as this is a young premier defensive tackle who can be the anchor of your defense.
Look, I want to send a note out to other NFL teams. I want Milton Williams to get paid, but I just want to say, like, sometimes you see a guy in a smaller role like Bryce Huff, and you want to give him a bigger role.
It's true.
So maybe you don't want to sign Milton Williams. Maybe you just want to let him stay here.
Same thing with Becton. Like, Becton's probably better staying here.
Yes. Do you think somebody would give him a shot as a tackle?
No, I would not put him at tackle.
Okay.
Too big, feet. His feet is not quick enough. That's why I don't think he played well at the tackle position. And if he's not going to get – see, I wonder if the Eagles can give him a structured contract to where he's not getting Landon Dickerson money. I mean, he wasn't an all-pro or a pro bowler.
Nope.
Right? And then some teams are going to be, okay, did he just shine in that system with those guys?
Next to those guys.
Next to those guys? Or do I want to bring him in? Like, because if I'm the Chiefs, I'm trying to get – Mekhi Becton. Like, the Chiefs need all kind of offensive line help.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're one of those, or the Cowboys, like, if you're one of those teams, are you paying him, like, premier free agent money to come and be your starting guard?
I hope.
I think he's a better guard than tackle.
And I think Mekhi Becton, now look, the contract is a huge difference that, you know, if one team's offering you $100 million, another team's offering you $35, you take the $100 million. But Mekhi Becton, you could, just like Saquon, because they were playing in the same stadium, two different teams, and both high draft picks that, you know, different situations, but Mekhi Becton looked like he really appreciated being here.
Yeah.
He was one of the guys who was crying after the game and saw, like, hopefully... He thinks in his head, if there's a little bit of a difference, I think he would stay here.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I think he would stay here.
My Lotta talked at his locker today about, like, pleading with Howie to re-sign Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. That's a close unit. Close unit. And you need that type of stuff. You want your other line mates to be like, yeah, we need to bring this guy back.
Yes.
We need to bring this guy back. But I think they can get Becton for a team-friendly price.
Right.
Sweaty. I don't know.
No, he's getting paid. Yeah. I don't know if they're going
to pay. At least that's what he hopes to get paid.
Yeah.
I just you wonder what other teams think of your players.
Right.
Are we happy if Nolan Smith and Jalen Hunter are the starters next week one?
See, I don't know that. Yeah. Jalen Hunter's probably going to need to put on 20 pounds just to hold up.
Yeah. Flashed.
Yeah.
Made the 58 proud.
It's easy to flash when you only play 15 snaps a game.
Yeah.
That's different when you got to play 40 snaps a game.
I think they need another guy. Yeah.
Guy like Myles Garrett.
Well, I wouldn't mind that at all. Wouldn't mind that at all.
One more year, BG.
Yep.
Hey,
could do that too.
Might wind up doing one more year of BG. Yep. We're doing one more year of BG.
Another retirement tour.
He looks great.
Yep. 215-592-9494. Is Tell the Truth Thursday on the WIP Afternoon Show. Who surprised you the most this year? And you got to be honest about it. Mike and Aston, you're on WIP.
Hey, great to hear you guys. First off, I've been an Eagles fan since 1980, been through the worst. I still have a Mike Mamula jersey, if that gives you an idea how diehard I am.
Nice.
Secondly, for me, I know you're looking for one, but to me, it's the quarterback.
Of course, you'll give us more than one.
It's Mitchell and it's Coop. I mean, rookies generally don't make that big of an impact their first year, and they didn't play like rookies. They played like seasoned veterans. They played without fear.
Yeah.
And, you know, if that's Fangio's responsibility or if it's, you know, they're coaching from wherever they came from first, I mean, they were lockdown corners, which last year Eagles couldn't defend anything in the secondary. And this year their secondary was probably one of the best.
Yeah.
So to me, it's the biggest and most pleasant surprise were the cornerbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mitchell, unless you're watching Mac conference football games. I don't know if anybody really knew much about Quinyon Mitchell playing out there at Toledo. And I certainly didn't think he would be able to get acclimated to the NFL game as fast as he was able to do it. I mean, it was the first game of the season. It was the first game they're trying to go deep against him with the Watson kid out there in Green Bay. And he's like, nah, that ain't happening.
Right.
So and he's played with supreme confidence from the time he's got on the field. Early, so I definitely was surprised by him. Coop, I'm not as surprised by because I was actually higher on Cooper coming out than because I didn't know much about Quinyon Mitchell.
Did Gene play on the outside?
In college,
So credit to the Eagles, too, for figuring out that's not really your best
where
spot.
Where he's best suited,
Because I think that had a lot to do with his success, is putting him in that position.
And the defense took off when he got in that role.
Maddox came off the field and Gene came on.
Yeah, the defense took off. So, yeah, corners, man. Damn good. We couldn't draft a corner for 25 years.
We got two in one draft.
Man, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And Jack was mentioning yesterday, did you say they needed a safety? Was it you that was talking about them needing a safety?
Probably not.
It was a caller.
Maybe Jalix Hunt. He was safety 2 years ago.
Well, we're not getting rid of Reed. And we're not getting rid of CJGJ.
Right. Yeah, so there's no room for
another nowhere to play a guy.
Yeah. But if we need one, Hunt. Jalix, hold on that 20 pounds. We might need you to stay.
Might need you to, as a rover. Yeah. Yes. You might have to play all over the place.
Yeah. So coming up next, there's still mystery as to who the Eagles are playing in week one. Hmm. Adam Schefter has an idea.
Shefty.
But Amon-Ra St. Brown also has an idea. So we will discuss that next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Odyssey celebrates President's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Enjoy USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound, which pairs well with Josh Cabernet, 750-milliliter bottles priced at $14.99 each, or buy six or more mix and match for just $13.49 each plus CRV. Signature Select Value Pack Boneless Pork Top Loin Chops, $3.99 per pound. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.